Welcome back to the Profit Your Knowledge podcast. Today's guest is Amy Hager. And today she has this really cool business that is the joyfulbusinessrevolution.com, which there'll be a link down in the description, of course. But Amy's really big on helping coaches, content creators, you know, experts, consultants, the people who want to teach stuff online, get paid for it. And she's really great at helping them find the right kind of personality in their content, because let's face it, if you want to grow an online business, you have to make content, otherwise you don't exist online. But with Amy's approach, we're going to unpack the five different personality types that there are when it comes to content creation, because if you're not in the right type of content creation for you, it's going to feel like an uphill battle and you're really not going to enjoy your marketing, this essential piece in your business. So we're going to figure out what these five personality types are when it comes to content creation. And hopefully you can get an idea of what you are and then pursue your own content efforts. So how are you doing today, Amy?
Doing great, James. Thanks for having me.
I'm super pumped about this. I'd love to dive right in. And I just want to hear a little bit about your backstory. I love asking people this that are on the show, because a lot of people who listen to the show, they want to start a business. That's a big portion of the audience and looking for different opportunities and ideas that they can do. So what made you decide to be an entrepreneur instead of just working in a job? And then how did you get into what you're doing today, where you're helping coaches with content and all this cool stuff?
Yeah. So I think my entrepreneurial journey started super young. I was 9 and I grew up in Iowa and I raced go-karts. And in order to race go-karts, I needed money. And so I'd have to go around town convincing businesses to give me cash for money and gas. And I remember like the first time trying to do this to a complete stranger. They were really super sweet and like just gave me the money anyways. But, you know, he had said something along the lines of, you got to figure out your pitch better because you're not going to be able to sell to everybody this way. And I'm 9, y'all. Like, I should be selling Girl Scout cookies or something. But no, I'm trying to get cash. And so I really realized early on in life that when you can build a community around you who likes, loves, and trusts you, no matter if you win, no matter if you lose, no matter if you get black flag, no matter if you flip, no matter if you wreck, or if you come in third, then you're really, really doing something really well. And that's what I did, is I really focused on how to build a community. And the next person I asked to give me money was Hardee's. And I also asked them for ice cream coupons, because then I'd hand them out after the races. Guess who was, no matter if they win, lost, first, second, last, guess where all those kids were going after the races? My pit, because they knew to get free ice cream from me. So I really learned early on that, I guess, knack for creating something unique and creating some sort of experience that people, again, would enjoy. And therefore, that's how I grew. And so racing led me into a career in radio. And then from radio, I started to dabble in print media, so business journal, lifestyle magazines. And when I was there, I was representing our publisher at all of our local chamber and nonprofits. And I really fell in love with the idea of a nonprofit and how it was you were all working towards a bigger mission that was bigger than yourself. Well, lo and behold, I get orders to move out to Washington, D.C. My husband was in the Navy. And that is like the mecca of the association nonprofit space. And so I spent 16 years there. And, you know, I loved that bringing like minds together to really improve that larger industry and to build that community. And that's where I really started to play with your strengths, and especially your strengths in content creation, when I was building out my teams and really letting my volunteers thrive in their strengths. So instead of making a volunteer do something, I would instead ask them what they're really good at and then tap into that and find someone else to fill the gap that they couldn't fill. And I started to use this thing called the content personality to build out my teams and to then build out their tasks based off of their strengths. And so when I decided to leave the nonprofit space, the one bad thing about working in the mission-driven organizations is you're governed by a board. That's like 12 bosses when you're the executive director. And I couldn't do it anymore. So I went to the creator of the content personality and said, hey, I've been using your stuff for years in the nonprofit space. I think we should join forces and really grow this thing. And that's where the joyful business revolution kind of came around. And we were already playing in the space of joy and how to build a business from a place of joy instead of a place of have or should. And we just kind of doubled down on creating this new way of thinking when it comes to building your business. So we've been the Joyful Business Revolution, like legally now, for I think 3 years or so. Prior to this, it was our founder, M. Shannon Hernandez, who the company was named after her. And we made that whole branding transition to take her face off of the brand and bring us into the space as a duo.
Very cool. So how did that lead into you helping like coaches and content creators and consultants? Because it's a very booming niche, obviously. And right. There's a lot of great stuff in here. But how did you kind of get like your first set of clients? Was it one person that kind of sparked that this is our group of people? Like what happened there?
Right. And so what I really had known from my experience in the nonprofit spaces in the actual nonprofits that I worked for, those that I thrived in were those who were business owner based, because I really could give coaching and guidance to those business owners. And so it was the pathway that Shannon kind of was already going down to. She had experienced a bunch of different types of clients as well, and really had found that this methodology works best for coaches, consultants, and creators. And it's because you really get to drive that ship. And usually you're starting this business solo. And so you don't have a team to support you. So how do you leverage your strengths to get to the point where then you can bring on the team to fill in on your weaknesses? And so that seems, and it's to this day still very much so true. When I can get with someone in the early stages of them starting their business and for them to think down this path of operating from the place of strength and operating from your content personality type in the place of joy versus I should or I have to do this because so-and-so said, it's very interesting how much more quickly that business grows than someone who maybe has been struggling with it for a few years comes in and they're like, please, I need to be on the joyful side. And then we end up bringing them. So I like to fast track that process with early adaptation, I guess you could say, in your entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think it's so true because it's like we get told so many things. You should do this. This is the best way to do this. This is the only way. And you're like, dude, oh my gosh. Yeah, and I've invested in so many things. And then I realized that it's just like beating a dead horse, or I'm the square peg that you're shoving into the circle hole. And it just doesn't work, you know? And right. I mean, guidance is really important and it's really good to invest in yourself. But I think it's huge too that you should always be listening to kind of that inner North Star that you have, your intuition or God's voice or whatever you want to call it, that's guiding you. Because when I've done that, I've created opportunities or something great has happened shortly after that, like my first $10,000 day, you know, or finding a marketing system that works for me because I listened to what was going on inside and what felt right for me.
And I think, James, like you're nailing it on the head, what works for you, because what works for me may not necessarily work for you. And so even though we use the content personality as kind of that first stepping stone, your path is going to be different than any other online coach, even though you're both health coaches who focus on healing the gut, because you're different people. You enjoy different things. And so when we can build that business off of what you enjoy, that's what makes you different. That's what makes your business different. And I really say your marketing and your messaging is not working until you're attracting and you're repelling. It should be doing both. You can really take that stake in the ground and say, I am doing both. That's when you really, really know you've got good messaging.
Yeah, I love that. And it's, it was a coach of mine and he said that the best type of marketing is the one that you can stick with. Yes. And I think that it's like, it's so simple and so true. Cause like if you're posting on Instagram or TikTok and you're like, I despise posting on Instagram and TikTok.
Right. And why are you there?
Right. Why are you doing it? Also, like I made the decision to stop doing social media. I mean, I'm on social media and I connect with people cause it's important, but I don't like post every day on Facebook, like holding up my camera and filming. And I did that for every day for a long time. And a lot of people tell you, like, show up on video every day on social media. I don't do that. I show up on my podcast and I have a ton of conversations in my podcast that leads to a lot of opportunities. I just got booked on this big summit that I'm presenting at, you know, that has a bunch of my target audience. And to me, that makes more sense. And I wasn't making money with posting every day on social media. So I noticed that and was like, this isn't working and it's not fun for me. But over on YouTube, I was making thousands of dollars from YouTube when I had like 200 subscribers, and that just made sense to me and it was fun for me. And I was like, this is working and I like it. So I'm going to keep doing that. So I think it's really so important, and you have to market yourself, bottom line, but there's so many different ways. So let's dive in to the five personality types. Can you give me a bird's eye view? What are they? And then we'll unpack each one.
Totally. All right. So the five are, no particular order: live in person, video, audio, written, and visual.
How is visual different from video? That's my question, first of all.
All right. Beautiful first question. So it's the energy of how you're showing up. So a visual is going to be, think of infographics, Canva graphics, hand-drawn graphics.
Oh, so like design heavy.
Sometimes design heavy. And so there's something visual that is helping you therefore show up and really enroll somebody into that larger vision, enroll someone into working with you, enroll someone into the conversation with you.
Okay.
For video, it's the essence that your energy alone is all you need. You don't need another person on the other side. You don't need a room of people, and that you are comfortable enough showing up in the way that you are to really explain something. And through that, again, you're enrolling people into that vision, they're purchasing and they're agreeing with you.
Gotcha. Okay. So a talking head style and using my energy more focused, and my words and my body presence basically is what works for me. But visual would be more like, I could have a YouTube channel, but it's like a quote unquote faceless YouTube channel, or I'm in a small thing. It's like screen sharing, you know, or having slide presentations, that kind of stuff. Is that what you mean?
And so, yeah. And so I think when you think about the visual, you need the visual thing to explain and talk about what you're doing is visual. Where again, on video, you may not need anything. Sometimes you do maybe use a screencast or a PowerPoint, but in the essence of what you do, if you were to use, let's just say like Loom or something to send videos, just respond back to emails, and that's then how you get people into the sales conversation. It really, you don't need anything else but you to show up to explain it. Where visual, you need something there with you to explain it. So that's kind of
interesting.
The big difference between the two.
Interesting. Okay, cool. So what was number one again? That was
the first one was live in person. Live in person, they need the interaction with another person to energetically show up. And again, that's what the energy is. It's converting someone into a sale, and that's the energy that actually makes you money. Audio is another one. So your audio people are usually, when you pick up the phone and the other person on the other line, like, you could listen to their voice all day. And they could be an Eskimo selling you snow, like, you would buy it. And again, they're really able to walk you through just with their voice and really build that like love and trust factor so that you make the purchase. Written content personality types, pretty self-explanatory through the written word, is how they're closing deals a lot of times, is how they best articulate what they do and how they can help. And so a lot of times they're making long form posts on social media. They're doing longer form emails. A lot of times their sales are happening maybe in written emails or a DM type situation. They're not having to host a phone call or a video call or anything along those lines.
Okay, for sure. And then video, like you mentioned, that's you actually presenting on video, like doing YouTube videos and stuff like that. It is interesting because I have questions about these personality traits or types that I think would give clarity to the person listening. But you can be, and I know this to be true, people in person really resonate with people. And they're like, when I'm talking to someone, it's totally natural. When I have to look at a camera, super awkward for me.
Yeah.
And And my big question is, like, I get that, you know, some things are more natural for us.
Right.
But I'm a firm believer in building skill sets. That's what I believe in.
Oh, yeah.
And because that's what helped me grow my income, is by having skill sets. One of them, an example, is copywriting. Speaking to a camera. I think speaking to a camera is an amazing skill set that every online coach should develop. Even if it's unnatural for you, that's kind of my take, because, you know, speaking on a stage too, I think that that's a skill set that you should develop, because everybody sucks at something when they first start. Me, for example, my clients tell me when I'm coaching them on making like YouTube videos or something, like, I want to have a YouTube channel, but I'm super awkward on camera, but they want to have the YouTube channel. And they're like, you're like really good on camera. It's like, well, I've been doing this for like eight years talking to a camera, you know, like, it's been a long time, but it was really awkward for me for a very long time. Copywriting. I sucked at copywriting. I didn't even know what I was doing, but I learned this skill and got better at my writing skills, you know? So can somebody like have multiple personalities, or what's kind of your take on these different personalities? Should you develop all of them, or is it just like, this is the one that you do? What I want to hear from you.
Yep. So I would say, let your weaknesses be weaknesses. Especially when you're just starting out, there's other things that you need to worry about and bigger things that you need to worry about. So this really is to simplify your marketing and how you can attract and interact with people, leveraging the psychology of messaging and selling. And it's going to align with your more natural strengths. So it's going to come easy. So I say, pick one, do it really, really well. Let the rest go. When you do that really, really well, and you're actually seeing the conversions into sales, into actual dollar bills, yo, then you get to start playing in those other ones. But until you're doing one really, really well, why do you think you're going to do four others really, really well? And that's really going to burn you out. So therefore, then you start just working for your business or in your business instead of attracting clients and working with those clients. So it's a really a great tool to block out all that noise that you should be everywhere, that you should be on multiple platforms. Our methodology is you can be on one platform, and it's the platform of your choosing, plus your email list. And you can really focus and grow your coaching and consulting practice through that first before thinking about any of the other stuff. And when we can eliminate that other stuff, and we really get people to focus, that gives them the chance to shine. And it really does take away one of those things that you feel like you have to do because it's business, and turn it into something you like to do, because there's other things you have to do, like your books and your taxes and accounting and things that are probably not as fun. So we don't want your marketing efforts and your content creation efforts to really become something that you hate and that's a chore, because you won't do it. And I think you had said that earlier, right? When we don't enjoy something, we tend to avoid it. And so by making the conscious effort to align with your strength, let your weaknesses be weaknesses, that's really going to maximize your time and your energy by choosing platforms that match your content personality type. And a lot of people end up choosing platforms because they think their clients are there. I guarantee your clients are everywhere. There's 65-year-old men watching TikTok. But everybody says if you want to attract a younger generation, you have to be on TikTok.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to be. So if you like Facebook and that's what comes easy to you, let's use your content personality type to be on Facebook. If you like TikTok, let's use your content personality type to be on TikTok. But when you choose a platform that's out of alignment of what you enjoy, and then you're forcing yourself to create content in a way that you don't enjoy, and that way, a way energetically you can't consistently show up, it's a disaster.
Yeah, I firmly agree. Because me posting every day on Facebook, I was just like, it's not fun. And for me, it wasn't producing a big ROI. But then over on YouTube, that just was more exciting for me. It made more sense.
Yeah, and on the flip side, so my business partner, she loves Facebook. She rocks Facebook and shows up there daily. And that's where a lot of her following is. And we get them on our email list from there.
Yeah.
We aren't on other platforms. We've started to play on other platforms just because, again, we've mastered one. So now we've brought in team to take the original messaging that was created on Facebook and convert it into formats that work for Instagram, convert it into formats that work for our blog, convert it into formats that works for our podcast. But the heart of the content creation of this organization is starting in our content personality type on the channel that we enjoy the most.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually, so I do post on Instagram. Well, I don't, I have someone else who does, because mostly because the reason I do is because people are on my podcast, and typically a lot of them are on Instagram, or people look to my Instagram. So I was like, I need some more relevant content here. Cause again, I stopped posting there and my business grew because I focused on other things that made sense to me. But for the sake of people sharing it, I was like, we should have something there. So we just repurposed my YouTube video, cause that's like my big focus each week. And that gets transcribed into a blog post, which somebody else does for me. And it also gets chopped up into little clips that can be posted to TikTok and to Instagram for more relevancy than anything is what I really care about, because I produce income in other ways. And yeah, I use Opus Clips, by the way, if someone's curious, which is a phenomenal tool, surprising how good it is. And yeah, that's kind of what I do. So I focus on like the one big YouTube video and then that gets repurposed into everything else for the week and I'm good to go.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, when you think about, again, just starting out versus James and I have been at this game for quite some while, all this is probably sounding super duper overwhelming. And you're like, lips to what, to this, to where, to who, to why? Make it super simple for yourself. And really start with where your natural strength is. Maximize your time and your energy choosing the platform that you enjoy to be on. And then when you think about even the selling and delivery of your product, I'm a live in person person. So I do things like these interviews with James. That's where I thrive at. Or I'm teaching. I don't have an ebook. I don't do a ton of writing. I'm dyslexic, so that's going to fail me big time. Can I do visual graphics on Canva? I can. I went to journalism school. I know how to lay things out, but it's not what brings me joy. And I don't love picking up the phone and talking to people. And even though I spent 7 years in radio and I'm really freaking good at it, doing like a video and talking into the camera doesn't bring me joy. So I solely focus on live in-person activities only, and I will outsource the rest. Now, where my business partner, she's also live in person, but she's super introverted. Coming here and being on an interview does not light her up, and she hates it. So she's really, really good at gathering people into small classrooms and doing teachings. She has that framework that she works off of. So she is teaching online, in person, in different communities. And from her teachings, people will enroll instantly into our programs. And so when we can really tap into that one thing and double down on it, and like I said, add in those other things, once we get really good at this and once we can bring on a team to help us execute it, that's a beautiful, easier pathway than trying to do it all the time.
Yeah. Well, I say, especially if you're getting started, getting started, it's so overwhelming. And just like, everyone's like, there's so much advice and counterintuitive advice. And it's like, one of my biggest pet peeves in this whole like marketing niche is being polarizing for the sake of being polarizing.
Oh yeah. I don't love that either.
I think that's my biggest pet peeve. They're like, say something just to do it, just to stir the pot, even though it's wrong. And it's like, yeah, that bothers me. And it causes so much confusion in new people. So you said that your personality type, when it comes to content creation, what works for you best, obviously you're more experienced. So you're like, I'll go on podcast interviews and stuff like that, or make a video. It's not a big deal because you've gained a lot more experience, but like that's your bread and butter is in-person live events. And if you were starting over, you know, and you found out, you're like, that's where I really enjoy. I just feel more light. You know, I feel like it's more enjoyable, and you have that joy you keep bringing up. How would you kind of go about getting the ball rolling for your business, knowing what your personality type is?
A really great question. So you do have to have those experiences to know what you like and what you don't like. And so marketing is going to be a playful experiment until you figure it out. Again, what works for me may not work for you. What works for James may not work for you. So use your content personality type as a way to focus. So there's like 152 ways when you look at all five. Once you boil it down to the one that you've scored on the quiz, it gets it down to like 20 to 30 ideas. Half of those ideas you're going to look at and you're going to be like, nah, I don't think so. Doesn't sound fun. Don't do them then. Pick from the half that you like. Pick which one really lights you up. Is there an idea that you've had in the back of your head for a while that you're like, God, I would really love to execute on that? If it aligns in the content personality type that you are, I say go for it. And so I've always been a people person. Again, ever since I was a child, I'd go up to strangers, well, adults, and ask them for money for my go-kart, for gas and tires, right? So I've always known that the interaction with people is where I thrive in. And so if I was restarting, I probably would find where can I go interact with the most people and where the most fun way for me would to be. And so looking here locally, I know there's a business gathering the third Tuesday of every month. They go to a restaurant. I love food. I love people. I'm going to give that a shot. There's a breakfast gathering too. I'm not a morning person. Guess what I don't do ever? The breakfast gathering. But I'll do the dinner one. And so it really is checking in with yourself and asking yourself, does this sound enjoyable? If it's a yes, give it a shot. If it's a no, that's okay. Let it be a no. Don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. There's a course. I took like a $2,000 copywriting course and I learned a ton. It helped me get way better at copywriting. And he talked about, it was Ramit Sethi, by the way, but he talked about how when you have fun with your copywriting, it shows in your copy and it helps with conversions and just having a good time. And I think that it's so true when it comes to marketing too. And that's what makes this approach so powerful. Because when you're doing live events, you're like, I really enjoy this. And you're like, that sounds fun to me. This doesn't sound fun to me. So I'm going to go do this thing. Then you show up differently. You have a different energy, which is paramount when it comes to making sales and enrollment. It's that like the like, love, and trust factor, or like, trust, and respect. You know, like it's creating this energy with people. And like, I have my own coach when it comes to enrollment and stuff like that. And he pounds us with the fact that energetics are so key. So when you're doing the things that actually align with you and make you feel good, you show up differently, which means you attract people in a way different way. Because if you're not enjoying it, you're going to repel people.
Exactly. And I think the other thing too is, you know, even when you're looking at the delivery of how you're delivering your offerings. So again, Shannon very much so works from a framework and teaches. So in our group program, she has a monthly theme that she teaches on. Me, I love the Wild Wild West. You bring whatever your question is, we're going to work through it. And I don't need that format. Do I have something in my back pocket that I could teach if they didn't show up with questions that day? Of course I do. But when you look at the different styles of even in the different content personality types, it's really, really interesting to find what way you deliver your products and services and how that aligns. We have a nutrition naturopath, I guess is what I would call her. And she really works with women with perimenopause. And she was hosting like webinars and stuff like that. She's a written content personality type. So when she converted her pre-experiences all written, she sells through email. And now the post-experience all through written, the only time she's really meeting with these people is to go over labs and to go over like the actual step-by-step process that they're going to do. The rest is all through text and email. And that's how she's staying in touch with them. So look at how you're also delivering your services. Is that aligned in your content personality type? I just got done working with a website developer. She sends videos to all of her clients on how to make changes to the website after she's done. While she's building the website, she'll send them side-by-side changes. Do you like this blue, I don't know, configuration versus this purple configuration? She sends it to them in video. They tell her back. So she's using video as the main tool to communicate to her clients. So really think of it too, when you're looking at how you're delivering your services and when you're building your offerings, that can be a really good sign intuitively how you should also be marketing.
Yeah, I love that. And yeah, it's like what matters and what I've learned through a ton of investments and trying things is when you're building a coaching and consulting business, the way that you build it is through talking to the people that you can help about what you can help them do.
Yes.
And how you can help them. Like, it really is that simple. And I overcomplicated that for so long. And you have to find, I love what you said about, like, you have to try things. Business is just a series of experiments. But when you try different things, you realize, I didn't like that. I do like this. But whether you're making video, whether it's audio, in-person events, written form, like, it's all just a conversation. And you're having conversations with the right people about the right things, so how you can help them. And it's just about solving people's problems. So if you keep it really simple and find the way that you like to do that, as long as you're doing the thing and helping people, and obviously, like, charging your worth and all that stuff,
yeah,
you're going to be fine. You know, you will build a very profitable business.
Right. Yeah. I think it's when we start doing the things people think we should do, or we think we should do, or whatever, we're letting outside forces come in too much into our business. That's where it gets wonky and out of alignment. And it is, it's just all a playful experiment. And I say, give something 60, 90 days. If it doesn't work, then you have another 60 or 90 days ahead of you and give that a shot. But really also, I do think it takes some time to really decide whether something works, if it doesn't work, if you enjoy it, if you don't enjoy it. But James, back to what you said about conversation, clarity comes from conversation.
Yeah.
And so if you're not clear on your messaging and you're not clear on what you should be saying to people, be in conversation, because through that, you're going to be able to pull out those golden nuggets. And, you know, if you're not sure how to say what to say, you can definitely work with a messaging coach, because they're going to listen to what you're saying, because I guarantee you, you're already saying what you should be saying. It's just how you're formulating. It may not be coming out either in live video, audio, written, or visual correctly to really deeply connect with the emotions of your dream clients.
Yeah. Love it. Right on, Amy, we're going to come in here for a landing, but I want to ask you, where can people learn more about you and get connected?
Yeah, if you go to thejoyfulbusinessrevolution.com, that's our website. If you want to Google the content personality quiz and take that quiz, you'll get your results via email. And then you also will get a little guide based off of your content personality type. So you're not just getting this result and being like, what do I do with it? And if you are playing out in Facebook, I'm there too. It's Amy, A-M-Y, Hager, H-A-G-E-R. And we've got a whole slew of online and in-person events coming up. So if this intrigues you and you want to be co-creating in your content personality type, just let me know.
Awesome. We'll put links down in the description. For the listener, we talked a lot about different content strategies and the different content personality types and all that. And I hope this gave you a bit more clarity on something that you're like, ooh, I actually really love being in person, or I don't like that. I really like audio. So maybe a podcast would be the best way, and you can have cool conversations like this in your own business. But I just want you to remember that keeping things simple, especially early on, it's the key. Like, you find the thing that's fun for you. As long as you're having the conversations with the right kind of people about, like, how you can help them, you know, and inspiring the right kind of people and building that sort of audience, like, it doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you're doing it, because that's what leads to business in the coaching space. Every like $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 deal was done by having a conversation. And that's what you have to remember. So how you get people there really depends on what's fun for you. But when you have fun with your marketing, it's going to get a lot easier. You're going to have a lot more business and you'll have more joy and fun in your life. So the biggest thing is that hopefully you got inspiration from this episode. More importantly, please do something with that inspiration. Implementation is your only superpower. Take what you learned here, get out there, make something happen. We will see you in the next one.